up in a small town meant that I also attended a very small school. It was a public school, so anytime anybody knocks public schools, I like to remind them that I think something good came out of public schools. Maybe that's just me. But my school, North Decatur Elementary, then North Decatur High School, my graduating class was only 72 kids. In fact, when we did the math, we realized that when I graduated, there were two girls for every guy, so it's a miracle I became a priest. And going to a small school, you knew everybody. You know, you knew every single one of your classmates. You knew their story, you knew their parents, you knew everything about them, and you grew up with them. You went through elementary school, you went through high school, all together as a unit. And yes, our class had those divisions. We had our jocks, and we had our band geeks, and choir nerds, and our goths, and every faction you can think of. But we really weren't divided. Even in that factions that we had, we still were one class, and we got along actually very, very well. Now today, I'd like to tell you the story of one of my classmates. Her name was Keisha Boyce. And Keisha was one of those people that just got along with everybody. Everybody loved Keisha. She had one of those smiles, and maybe you know people that are like this, that you just see it and you know it's genuine. You know, she was just genuinely a happy person, filled with joy, and it was contagious. When you were with Keisha, you couldn't help but smile as well. And by nature, she was very shy. And so to kind of, you know, put herself out there, you know, and really be a part of the school, she purposefully joined the cheerleader squad, knowing she'd be in front of, you know, hundreds of people for these ball games and cheering on our sports teams. I hesitate to use the word nice to describe Keisha, because Keisha, that word is overused, I think. Keisha was kind and good-hearted. Everybody in our class knew if you had any troubles, you could talk to Keisha. She always had an open ear. She would listen to anybody at any time. Just a good person. I'll never forget the day. It was December 15th, 2004. And I know exactly where I was. I was the back row, three seats over in French class. And the intercom came on, and it was the principal, and he said, "I have some bad news." He said there was a car accident this morning, and Keisha has been rushed to Methodist Hospital. Now, the official report on that cold December morning, the roads were slick. The official report, when they looked at the accident, they thought that maybe a deer or a dog had run across the road and Keisha had swerved to avoid it. Regardless of what happened, the car flipped multiple times as it went into a field. And as soon as we heard that news, we all prayed. Public school, everyone was praying. About an hour later, the intercom comes back on and informs us that Keisha didn't make it. She passed away. The school basically shut down that day. Finals were canceled. Students were consoling teachers, teachers trying to console students. We had lost someone who was very special to all of us. A few days later, we had the visitation in the gymnasium of the high school. And it was coincidence or providence or whatever you want to call it, but for finals week that year, for our junior year, our English teacher had us prepare these scrapbooks. They were called Me Books. And in them, we put all these pictures from our childhood. We had our favorite poems, our favorite songs. There are all these assignments that you could choose from these multiple assignments and put them into your me book. And one of the assignments that Keisha chose to do was what you would want your funeral to look like. And in that, she detailed that she didn't want anybody to be sad. In fact, she didn't want anybody to wear black at her funeral. She wanted bright colors. She wanted people to remember her for the smile she had, for the goodness that she was. And so in that gymnasium that was packed with the entire school, teachers, parents, everyone was wearing bright pink. And there Keisha was in the center of the gymnasium, laid out in her casket, wearing her cheerleader garb, as she detailed in her me book she would want to be buried in. The line stretched into the halls of the school as we all single file passed by and bid her farewell. And after I passed by the casket, I went up into the stands and sat down, hardly a seat open. And I sat down next to one of Keisha's good friends, one of her fellow cheerleaders. And I was asked a question I never thought I'd be asked in high school. She said to me, "Danny, do you think that Keisha's in heaven?" Now, my first response was one to comfort her and to say, "Yes, absolutely. Of course, Keisha's in heaven." But I hesitated because as I thought about it, I didn't know if Keisha went to church. I didn't know what her relationship with God was like. I knew she wasn't Catholic. But then I looked around. And to see the impact that she made in 16 years, to see the number of people that had such a positive influence on them because of who Keisha was, the attitude that she had, the fact that she lived out the gospel message in her own way and brought it to people. I looked at the girl I was sitting next to and I said, "I'm not God. I don't know. But I'd like to think so. I really hope so." Even to this day, if I have a mass that I say that doesn't have an intention attached to it, I'll offer it for Keisha. Now, after that day, I really started thinking about that question. Was Keisha in heaven? And I began to think to myself, what if Keisha had everything that we have? Not being Catholic, she would have never known what it feels like when you go to confession and you have your sins forgiven, that peace that comes with that, when that weight is lifted off of your shoulders. She would have never known that. She would have never known the amazing gift that confirmation is, when the bishop seals you with the Holy Spirit, putting the oils on your forehead, filling you up with the fullness and the passion of God. She would have never known what we come here to celebrate week in and week out. When we come to this altar and we receive God, body, blood, soul, and divinity, into our very being, and we take Him with us, she would have never known the peace and quiet of the Adoration Chapel, just being there, gazing upon our Lord. And I thought to myself, what if she had those things? How much more a girl who was so filled with virtue already, so filled with life and goodness and joy, how much more she could have done? We hear possess some of the greatest gifts that God has bestowed upon humanity. We have them at our fingertips, waiting to be used. And week in and week out, we come here and we say our creed. We say yes to the Father. We say, I believe in this. I believe in these sacraments. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We have these things. But do we take them into the vineyard? Do we really understand what we say when we say yes? When's the last time we went to confession? When's the last time that we recognized what truly happens here? When's the last time that we started our work week by thinking, I am filled with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, endowed by God with His majesty and glory? In today's gospel, Christ presents these two options to us. He says, there are these two sons, one that said, no, I will not go into the vineyard, but then he did. And then there's the one who said, yes, of course, I will be there, and then never showed up. When I was in the third grade, we had CCD classes that we attended, one of the other benefits of public school. I remember specifically this morning, because every time we would meet, we would go through the gospel for the week, and this was the gospel that week. And the reason I remember it, we had a kid in our class, there were only five of us, five boys in this class, quite a bit of trouble in those classes. And this one kid, his name was Keith Krieger, farm boy, down to earth, common sense, not the most book smarts, but just a good guy. And the reason I remember that morning is Keith never raised his hand in class, ever. But after hearing today's gospel, he had this confused look on his face, and he raised his hand, and the teacher called on him, and he said, after hearing these two options that Christ gives us, he said, why can't we do both? Why can't we?